this is, we are never getting back together, like ever. A Teen Wolf fanfic, written by Willow Crowned and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Peter Hale, Stiles Dolinsky, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Immortal Stiles Dolinsky, Immortal Peter Hale, Werewolf Peter Hale, Possessive Peter Hale. Peter is a complete nightmare freak of a person, but that's okay. Stiles is too. That's what being alive for 500 years does to you. That's also what being Stiles does to you. Happy ending? Does it count as a happy ending if both of them are possessive freaks who are delighted to be back in an unhealthy relationship? No, Beta, we die like me. Summary. Stiles is immortal. Peter is also immortal. Stiles did not realize this before stabbing him and leaving him in the middle of nowhere 300 years ago. And now they're in a Minnesota grocery store together, with Peter looking at Stiles like he's imagining ripping him apart with his bare hands. Yay. Author's notes. Inspired by this Tumblr post. We had a really bad breakup 300 years ago, but neither of us realized the other was immortal until we met today while shopping for groceries. AU. Stiles spots Piotr for the first time in 300 years when he's trying to decide if it's worth it to buy the wrinkly bell peppers in front of him. This is a problem. Piotr, not the bell peppers. Though to be fair, the bell peppers are also a problem, if a much, much smaller one. Because Piotr should be dead. Piotr should be very dead. Piotr should be 300 years dead. Skeletons tucked somewhere in the middle of ass nowhere Russia, with Stiles' favorite sword through the center of his torso. Then Piotr spots Stiles, because of course he does. And the problem gets bigger, because instead of doing literally anything that might indicate that he has changed and is no longer the murderous, vaguely evil, unfortunately smoking hot psychopath that Stiles remembers, and is now invested in peace and love and letting Stiles live his life, Piotr wheels his cart over, smiling like he's imagining dismembering Stiles with his bare hands. Hey, Stiles says, resolutely pretending not to look at Piotr and instead pretending to look at the sad, wrinkly vegetables that make up Frazee, Minnesota's one and only grocery store's one and only extremely disappointing display of vegetables. Piotr's expression changes by a micrometer, which wouldn't concern Stiles, except that it's Piotr! And Stiles has seen him decimate entire battalions sent by the Tsar with his bare hands while smiling pleasantly. So if he's pissed enough for his deeply terrifying, slightly arousing smile to drop even slightly, he is very pissed indeed. Which, to be fair, is pretty reasonable, considering Stiles stabbed him and left him to bleed out in the snow. But in Stiles' defense, he didn't think Piotr would survive it and have to pull himself back to civilization while his wounds healed, which would have been 10 times worse than just dying, considering that the nearest town was however many American miles 25 Russian imperial miles is away. Yachislav, Piotr says, so pleasant that Stiles knows he's going to have a sharp object lodged in his abdomen sometime in the next 12 hours. I go by Stiles now, actually. Stiles grins brightly. The same bright, false grin he'd learned from the man across from him. It's been a while, Piotr. Peter. Peter corrects, staring at Styles with an intensity that would be frightening even without Styles knowing that he is about to be tortured. I felt it was best to assimilate. Styles replies, starting to calculate the odds of Peter shifting in the middle of a grocery store just to make sure he gets to mangle Styles before Styles can skip town and disappear for another 300 years. Factoring in the very real possibility that Peter would have to kill everyone in the grocery store for being witness to it. Unless Peter has somehow acquired a moral compass between their last jaunt into the Russian wilderness and now, the chances are higher than Styles would like to think about. Well, nice running into you. I'd better... Peter's hand shoots out, grabbing Styles' wrist in a grip that is unfortunately exactly as strong as Styles remembers it being. Yeah. He's fucked. I hope you weren't thinking of leaving. Peter's thumb starts rubbing the inside of Styles' wrist in circles, just firm enough to keep the threat of violence immediate, and just soft enough to make Styles think of the last time he'd done that, when they'd been crammed into a too small bed in a too small inn, and Peter had been sure to take advantage of the fact that Styles was incapable of escaping his reach. Not that Styles had wanted to. Me? Styles squeaks, and immediately wishes he could kill himself. No matter how long you live, embarrassing squeaking is still embarrassing. He coughs. Yeah, no, I was, about to go. So nice running into you. Peter's grip on Styles' wrist tightens once again. Smile still as icy and pleasant as advanced frostbite. I think it's high time we catch up, Styles. I really don't think it. Peter's eyes flash, and suddenly there are claws digging into Styles' arm. You know what? It totally is. Styles pastes on a grin. So if you just let me buy my groceries... I don't think so, Peter says, rolling his eyes, and begins dragging Styles out of the store. Styles glares at Peter, briefly contemplating whether it would be worth it to start screaming bloody murder about Peter kidnapping him. On the plus side, it might startle Peter long enough for Styles to run to the battered old Jeep he stole somewhere near Salt Lake City and drive off into the sunset, which, because it's winter, is happening at 5 p.m. On the not-so-plus side, Peter will just shift, catch him, and then probably keep him alive while he eats his organs. And he'll probably wreck the car to boot. Styles does not scream. He does, however, mutter, "wasn't going to try to run," under his breath. Peter predictably scoffs at the notion and throws Styles into the back seat of a very nice, very shiny, very fancy-looking car with blackout windows, which absolutely figures. Of course, Peter, who, besides being a murderer with the sort of moral compass you could use as a roulette wheel, is also a massive dick, gets the nice, fancy car and the nice, fancy, extremely well-fitting clothes, while Styles, who isn't exactly the most unstained guy out there, but who at least knows that killing people is bad, has to steal a battered old Jeep from a Mormon who really should have known better than to leave his car out in the open where anyone could borrow it. Nice car, Styles says. Peter ignores him, climbing into the back seat and locking the doors. Now, he says, smile changing from pleasant with ice-cold and deadly undertones to full-on, I am going to eat your face while you watch, and then your internal organs, and then maybe your toes, just because it seems like that would upset you. Let's talk. Styles blinks up at Peter, who has unfortunately decided to pin Styles down by straddling him, which, while extremely sexy, it's not exactly helping Styles maintain the kind of focus he needs to in an extremely dangerous situation such as this. In my defense, he says, before he can forget the horrible, agonizing torture coming for him, in lieu of bringing up every wet dream he's had about Peter in the 300 years since he's seen him. I didn't know you were immortal. I thought you would just die. Peter smiles down at him very meanly and condescendingly, which is unfortunately deeply attractive to Styles, because Styles is not and has never been quite right in the brain. I mean, Styles continues, an immortal werewolf? It sounds like something out of a bad horror movie. Come on, you can't expect me to have known that. Peter gives him a little, I'm amused, but only because I'm toying with you, kind of huff. You still tried to kill me, Styles. I don't take kindly to being killed. Even though you didn't die? I will leave, Peter says. Most people would make the argument that you intending for me to die is actually worse. Styles flashes his best, I'm just as crazy as you are, smile at Peter, since that was what got Peter in bed with Styles 300 years ago, instead of very messily ripping his head off. Styles isn't stupid enough to hope that the promise of crazy hot hate sex will distract Peter from tying him up and torturing him, but hey, at least he might get an orgasm out of the experience. I'm not most people. I'm well aware. Styles looks up at Peter, who, despite the visible lack of a beard, sword, boots, he's sporting some expensive-looking shoes, though God knows Styles has no clue what brand they are, and other various accoutrements still looks as he did 300 years ago. Cool enough to belie whatever white-hot fury is burning in his veins. Styles once watched him hunt down his sister's killer with that expression. The same icy determination frozen on his face for months as he tracked Ekaterina to the ends of the earth and tore out her throat. Peter was always most dangerous when he was on a hunt. And Peter, at his most dangerous, was very, very dangerous indeed. Styles sighs, closing his eyes and leaning back on the expensive leather of the car seat. Let's just get the torturing over with. For the first time, Peter seems thrown off. There's an awkward silence that descends upon the car, and it lasts long enough for Styles to open his eyes and see Peter staring down at him, still cool and unscrutable, only this time with a tinge of surprise. I'm not going to torture you, Styles, Peter says, then reconsiders, face going hard again. Well, I might a little. For leaving me like that, but nothing permanent. Nothing too painful. Just enough for you to learn your lesson. Styles blinks, taking another look at Peter's pose, his expression, his eyes. Fuck, his eyes. They're burning with the same greedy, demanding light they burned with the first night Stiles swore loyalty to Peter, with Peter's cock still inside him, fucking him to incoherence. It's the same light they burned with whenever Peter made a new acquisition, whenever his little collection of runaways and jewels and power, always and especially the power, grew a bit larger. It's the same light his eyes were still burning with, bright blue in the snow, when he lunged for Alyssa and Stiles stepped between them, stabbing him and leaving him for dead. Stiles knows that light. It's the same one that's haunted his dreams for centuries, leaving his lungs so full of guilt and grief that he's gasping for breath when he wakes up. And that it's here now, burning in Peter's gaze while he looks at Stiles. Well, Stiles can work with that. Stiles can definitely work with that. "You possessive bastard," he mumbles in Russian that's 300 years out of date. And Peter smirks, leaning down to nuzzle at the curve of Stiles' neck. "You're not getting away this time," he murmurs, breath hot against Stiles' skin. Stiles bares his neck and grins, bright and sharp, as Peter scents him for the first time in centuries. "I'm not planning to." The end.